comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. And I hope you make a habit out of it and come back each and every night. I think you will become addicted to it. I want to thank everyone that has been donating towards saving the show. Now, let me explain for those of you who are not up to speed on this. As the economy has gone into a deep slide in this country, as well as worldwide, a lot of our members have lost their jobs. And so they cannot afford to pay for the monthly membership. And we have had a reduction of about two-thirds since January as a result of that. Well, those are the dollars that pay for you to listen to the show. Those members that pay that $6.95 a month, 23 cents a day, that pays for you to hear the show. And they get, as a result, they get some additional access and benefits on the site that only the members get. But that's what pays the bills for you to hear the show. Well, we have to pay the studio rent. We have to pay for the broadband access to the Internet. We have to pay for the telephone lines. We have to pay for the electricity. And we have to pay for the water, the utilities. And if we don't pay that, quite naturally then, we get an eviction notice. Well, we have to, by the first of the month, we have to pay that. And all of it together, the whole thing all together, it's not all that expensive. The rent is just over $800. And the utilities and everything together brings it up to around $1,200. Well, I want to thank everybody that's been donating towards saving the show. As you know, we have 8 days left in which to raise the money we need, and we're not that far away. We still need about $400. But we can't let up in expressing the urgency of it, because if we do and you think everything is okay, then on day 11 you'll tune in and we won't be here. Because if it's just a simple matter of business, it's a simple matter of economics. If we can't pay for the space and we can't pay for the services that bring you the show, then we can't bring you the show. So give it a thought, and you know, if you've got an extra dollar or $2 or $3, whatever it may be, what we need you to do is make a donation. And maybe you have more. Maybe you've got 10. Maybe you've got 25. Maybe you've got 200 that you've been blessed with. Whatever it is that, you know, if you've got a little extra, your donation is vital to the cause. We'll be back with Open Line Live right after this, so don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're Open Line Live tonight. Now, I brought a couple of things that I want us to talk about, and
that I want to talk about. You don't have to, but important things that I think you need to know about. If you don't already know it, the largest earthquake in the world this year so far has just happened at New Zealand. Southern New Zealand has moved slightly closer to the east coast of Australia, about 12 inches closer. It's big, 7.8 on the Richter scale, big earthquake. But because of the nature of the landmass where the quake took place, they had low-frequency waves instead of the sharp, high-frequency waves. So there wasn't that much damage. It was more like a big, rolling earthquake. So we wish the best to all of our fans and to all the folks who live in New Zealand. And according to the report that I read, they were not reporting any casualties or massive damage. So let's hope it stays that way. Now, not far away in Australia, the swine flu is making the news. A couple of biotech companies there are about to introduce a swine flu vaccine. Now, one of the things that I thought was really, really interesting about this, in fact, they have started the testing of these vaccines on humans. They have some volunteers that have about 700 people, I believe, something like that, volunteered, and they are being inoculated with these vaccines. They're being tested. But one of the things that's interesting about this is the research director for one of these firms that has developed this is Nikolai Petrovsky. And listen to what he said. He said, swine flu is a very peculiar beast. It's a very different virus that we're dealing with. Now, we've talked about that here on this show. We've talked about the fact that this strain of swine, this is not the first time swine flu has come through. We have had swine flu scares before. And in fact, the U.S. had a vaccination program against swine flu back during the years when Gerald Ford was the president. People say, I look a lot like Gerald Ford. Perhaps I do, but I bet he never had a hat this cool. So, but we've heard from doctors, this is not me saying it, I've quoted from doctors who have said that this strain of swine flu is very different. We heard doctors say in the beginning of all of this, and then it all went quiet, nobody said anything else about it, but we heard doctors say that this looks manufactured because it's a combination of four different flu viruses. And they said these viruses do not combine in nature. And then all that went quiet. And then now we're hearing from this Dr. Petrovsky that he said this is a very peculiar virus that we're dealing with. Also on the health, beat, if you will, you know, something that's been around now for many years, relatively new, actually, but still it's been around now for a couple of decades or a little bit longer, is HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. And scientists believe that they have found a missing link in the evolution of the virus that causes AIDS. That link is a virus that is killing chimpanzees in the wild at a disturbingly high rate, according to this report, and according to a study in Thursday's journal Nature. So they think that they have found, perhaps, what it is that causes the HIV virus to go active and to create the AIDS syndrome. That will be excellent if they have so found, because that means they can begin then working on some cures perhaps for that. All right, it's Open Line Live, and I've got a couple of more things that I will toss out for us to talk about here tonight. And I've got many of you have been emailing me, asking me, will I put the picture of that man in black that our guest last night talked about, that he photographed years ago just outside the National UFO Conference. So I'm going to be showing you that tonight on our television feed, for those of you who are watching KSS TV, and we will have a good time tonight. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Kevin. Oh, boy, I'm going to take a little bit of a direction here that we don't usually go on the Kevin Smith Show, but it has to do with, you know, this whole swine flu. I have to say, but much of it is hoax and fear mongered by the mainstream media, and also HIV. I know that both of them are genetically engineered viruses.
Do you know that, or you believe that?
I pretty much know that. I've listened to some of the people. I've done the research also for myself, and I think that what's happening with the swine flu, because the swine flu is it's a combination of three different strains. You have, of course, the swine strain of it. You have the avian as well as the human strain of the flu is all combined together.
And yeah, it's four. There's one more in there. I don't know what it is, but they say there's four of them.
Well, there's two different strains of the human flu, and that's what the other one is.
Oh, okay.
And, I've been listening to some of the people, some of the doctors and scientists that have been on it, and they said this was, first of all, was genetically engineered inside a lab. And second of all, a lot of these viruses that have been coming, pardon?
I said nothing.
Oh, wow, I heard something anyway. All these viruses that have been coming out, I think they're pretty. A lot of them are pretty much to make these big pharmaceutical companies a heck of a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah. The 1976 swine flu, you'll find that more of the people died from the vaccination than from the virus itself. And that's on record. That's government records. And, you know, I'm saying that this is a biologically engineered thing, and I don't think it's from any evil terrorist, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so who do you think engineered it, and why, and who deployed it, and why?
Well, I think the pharmaceutical companies have a lot to do with it. I think in different ways, maybe Monsanto has something to do with it.
Hang on now. Since you named a company, we got to go for why did you choose to name that company? Why do you think Monsanto had something to do with this?
Monsanto's been involved in a lot of corruption themselves.
Yeah, but so has Fidel Castro.
Yeah, but I'm talking about these big corporations that like to make a heck of a lot of money off the sufferings of people, and they frankly don't care how many people they got to hurt to get their profits. And that's, I think that's exactly what they're going to be doing with the swine flu and all these vaccines. And I'm warning a lot of people, don't touch those vaccines. You're going to end up getting worse than this whole swine flu itself.
Yeah, but now let's go back to Monsanto. Just because you have read or heard things about them being involved in what you would think are nefarious activities, that doesn't mean that they're linked to this. Do you have any specific information that links them to this?
Well, I think the ones that are also linked with the Codex Alimentarius are also linked with these with this swine flu. I think it's all part of Agenda 21. It's don't put your intellectual seatbelt here, but I think it's part of the policy for depopulation. I think they've been doing it all over the world, and I think it's North America's turn. I think they're going to try to do it anyway. I don't think they're going to.
Well, it's not working very well. If it is, first let me say that it's one thing to be very suspicious that a company is involved. It's another thing to have the goods on it. But they're not doing a very good job. What is the state of the United States that's closest to where you live?
That would be Michigan.
Michigan has 515 cases of the swine flu confirmed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have 8 that have died. Nationwide in the United States, there are 40,617 cases, 263 deaths so far, and they suspect that the actual number of people infected are about a million. So, you know, if it is to depopulate, if that's the design of it, to depopulate North America, it's failing.
Oh, this is just the first phase. I think what they're going to try and do now is they're going to scare. They want to scare the people. They want to scare the people into more submission, into the protection of, you know, government can protect you. You know, with this evil swine flu going around, and government's going to be able to protect you. You know, if you give up more of your rights, and you know we got.
No, there's not too many more to give up.
Well, they'll have vaccines for everybody ready at all the FEMA camps. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Well, the FEMA camps may be for people that refuse them.
I think they're for both, honestly. I think it depends on the location. I think Beach Grove, I think, is going to be ones for ones like me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, thanks for the call, and I hope you're wrong. I hope you're dead wrong about this being a depopulation effort.
I hope so, too. I hope I'm wrong, too.
Yeah, thanks for the call. All right, the telephone number 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. Again, the toll free number, 888-223-4599. Now, that number will work, all those numbers work from anywhere in the world. But the toll free number is not toll free, except if you're calling from inside the USA or inside Canada. Then it's toll free. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan up in Washington State. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Ryan?
Pretty good.
Good.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about that show on Monday. They had a Colonel X.
Yeah.
I was wondering, as a former cop, do you think this guy? What do you think? What does your experience tell you about this guy? What is your opinion? Do you think he's legitimate? Do you think he's telling you the full story, the exact truth of, do you think he's really a colonel? I just wanted to see what your opinion is. I would take your experience as an investigator.
Well, yes, I think he is a colonel, and the reason is because Disclosure Project has been out, they've done some work with him, both SETI and Robert Bigelow are dealing with him. So all of these organizations would have vetted his claims prior to accepting an invitation to investigate his claims about these UFOs. So based, and look, I didn't vet him myself because I simply don't have the resources. I'm trying to keep the lights on. But based on who has been working with him, I would say that, yes, he very likely is what he claims to be, a colonel. So I don't know. Now, you know, I've gotten some email from people who said that he just doesn't sound like a colonel. Now, that happened the first time we had him on. But I don't know what people think a colonel sounds like. I've been around a lot of them. I had to deal with one colonel in one of my overseas missions. He was actually a lieutenant colonel. It was a flaming idiot. He absolutely was a flaming idiot. I don't know how this guy stayed in the service. But I've dealt with other colonels and generals and other ranks that were very feet on the ground, and they had different personalities just like the rest of us. So some of them were very jocular and, hey, how you doing? Good to see you, that sort of thing. And others were very, you know, their personality was starched and ironed. But they're all different, just like the rest of us. I don't think you can go on what you hear in terms of what sounds like a personality. I don't think you can go by that and say he is or is not a colonel. Because this guy that I told you about that was a flaming idiot, I wouldn't have believed this guy could be a dog catcher. But somehow he made it to lieutenant colonel.
Well, there's idiots in all walks of life in this world, but his claims are so extraordinary, and if anybody hasn't listened to that show, I urge them to go back into your archives.
What did you find extraordinary about it?
It has some startling, amazing information in it, and I just...
Okay, well, what did you find to be startling? What is it that you found to be startling and amazing?
Well, he was claiming that he is working in cooperation with some fellows like Bob Bigelow and James Carrion to get some things into the hand of Bob Bigelow that could bring on some kind of disclosure, which we've been hearing for years now, year after year after year, that it's going to happen just around the next corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a while, people start taking everything with a grain of salt. So that's why I'm really kind of just sitting back and watching it. I'm not...
There are a lot of people inside that have information they would like to get into the hands of people that can do disclosure. And that is what the Disclosure Project is. It's all insiders. Okay, so those are people who are doing exactly the same thing he's claiming to do. Do you follow what I'm saying? All of the people in the Disclosure Project are insiders who decided to come out of the closet and bring information with them. And, there's, 400, 500, 600 of them. And they have done, by being in the Disclosure Project and going public, they have done what he is in the process of doing. So I don't find that to be amazing. We're getting to hear about it as it's happening. That's a little bit different. But I don't find anything to be really amazing. There are UFO investigators that have gone to the desert with him, and in fact witnessed the flight of this very strange something.
Right
on schedule, like he said it would happen.
Right. And let me just interject what I observed about what he was saying was that a lot of the sightings that people have, a lot of the big sightings, from according to him, were tests to rate the public's response. And if you look back, nobody panicked at all. In Phoenix, nobody panicked at all. In Texas, nobody panicked at all. In Chicago,
so the governor panicked here. Fife Symington panicked.
Well, the government panicked, but the people didn't panic. So
that's true.
But anyways, I just hope that what he's saying, I hope he can get to the next level. I just feel like if the public, if there's ever going to be some sort of official disclosure, that it's going to have to come from the people on the inside, and there has to be some sort of reputable evidence that is brought out to the point where you put the government and high places in a response mode. I don't think they're going to be proactive about it, but I just, taking it with a grain of salt, I just hoping what he says is true, and I hope he's able to do that. I remember when he was on your show last year.
Ryan, can you hang on through the break?
I think I'm gonna run. I just wanted to, maybe after the break you can go through.
I got to run. The break's taking over. So, but thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Open line live tonight. We will talk about whatever is on your mind. And, boy, that was some big news, huh, out of the United Kingdom. A big sighting over there. Hundreds of people in the London area saw it, and there's been a big, big hush that has fallen over the news of that event. Well, thanks to the Kevin Smith Show, the news of that event has now gotten out to the world, as people all over the world in 95 countries just heard it. And there are people listening on AM radio, FM radio, shortwave radio. There are people listening on internet radio. There are people listening and watching on internet TV. And lots of people driving down the road listening on their cell phones in their cars. And all over this planet, people heard the news thanks to one of our listeners. Big event in Streatham, London. So maybe there are some more folks out there with more news about this event. Maybe there are some more folks in that area that saw it and can send us a flash message or even call in and describe for us what they saw. Apparently it was on LBC radio as people were calling in and describing what they were looking at. And then it vanished, and in a flash of light, it was gone. So hundreds of people and a massive UFO, or a huge UFO, I think is the term that was used. So maybe if you are in the London area, and I know we have quite a number of listeners in London and around London, if you know something about this, do a flash message at least, okay? Do a flash message at least, or you can use Skype and call our telephone numbers, and that's very inexpensive, 623-444-5889, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 888-223-4599. I promised you at the top of the show that I'm going to share with you some photographs provided by our guest last night. He mentioned a very strange event, and that event was that a long time ago, I forget when, what year he said, I think he said 1969. Anyway, it was quite a number of years ago. He was attending a national UFO conference and ran into this individual who said that he was a man in black in training. You remember that? He noticed the guy. The guy was dressed like these men in black. He had the characteristics that had been described about these men in black, the very white, pasty skin, strange walk. And so our guest last night, Alan Greenfield, stood up, and he asked the guy, he said, "I don't think I've ever seen you at one of these conferences before. Who are you?" And the guy, in a very mechanical voice, said, "I am a man in black in training." And then he turned and walked out. Greenfield grabbed his camera and ran outside and called to the guy. The guy turned around, and when he turned around, Alan Greenfield snapped a picture, and it's a very clear picture. It's hard for me. I mean, this just looks like a person. It just looks like another person. But that's what they tell us about these men in black, except that they have a very pale complexion. Because of the lighting, it's difficult to tell in the picture if this guy has a pale complexion. Greenfield said he did have a very pale, pasty complexion. For those of you who are watching on internet TV, you are now seeing the photograph that Greenfield sent to me. And, this is the, photograph of the guy who claimed to be a man in black in training. And indeed, he has the clothes, the sunglasses, and the hat. Now, I was under the impression that a lot of these men in black are wearing black hats, but Greenfield said there are quite a number of stories of men in black wearing these gray hats, and that he said this hat is a gray hat. Again, difficult to tell because it's a black and white photograph, and this was shot with Kodak Tri-X film, and Tri-X film has a light sensitivity rating of an ASA 400, and it's high contrast. It's not warm. It's very high contrast. And so you see that in the photograph. It is a high contrast photograph. But consequently, because of that, you can shoot it in low light, and you can shoot things that are moving rapidly, and it will stop their motion instead of it just being a blur. And so we see this, to my eye, looks like a photograph that was shot with Tri-X film. I have a lot of experience shooting with Tri-X film, and that's what this looks like. Is this a real man in black in training? Well, I have no idea. No idea. But that's the photograph. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
I found that kind of funny that, you know, he actually mentioned that he was a man in black in training. You would think, you're sitting at a table with, you know, some friends and stuff, you know, I would think, was that guy an ex-police officer or anything, or is he just in ufology stuff?
Greenfield? No, he's not ex-police.
Okay. You know, I would say, hey, guys, you know, this guy's a man in black in training, you know, come on over here, you know, and kind of surround him and, you know, check him out, you know, without infringing on his rights, of course, you know, as much as you can, you know, and see what he's about. He looks like Stephen Baldwin to me.
Well, if you remember, Greenfield said that he turned around to get his camera, and when he picked up his camera and turned back around, this guy was headed for the door, so he followed him out. So the guy went on the move almost immediately after they spoke.
Like I said, any officer that I trained under me, would go in and identify himself when he's supposed to be undercover as an undercover officer and also get his picture taken on graduation day. You know, I don't think things will look too good, personally. That guy you had on Monday, I wanted to call in. I had other questions, but the only one I can remember is that that SETI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Ohio State was one of the first that ever reported a frequency, and they proved that it wasn't anything, satellites or anything around here. I think they even tracked down what galaxy it was supposedly from, but from what I know, they never, you know, was able to decode it or anything, and that was the only message that was ever, you know, ever supposedly reported. Of course, who knows what hasn't been reported. I didn't know if you ever
did
that or not.
Yeah, if indeed extraterrestrial intelligent beings are coming here from somewhere else outside of our solar system, that would mean they're coming from some other star, from a planet that's orbiting some other star. Well, you know, those are light years away. They're not close. Even the closest ones are light years away. So, in order to get here, in any sort of reasonable amount of time within their lifespan, long though it may be, they would have to be traveling at or beyond the speed of light. And my contention is radio waves travel at the speed of light. If you travel 1 mile an hour faster than the speed of light, you have outrun your radio transmission.
Yeah, I actually don't think that, you know, that kind of speed's feasible from, you know, what I know. But, you know, I think they have to be going into space or worm tunnels or whatever, because you know, I don't think you could go that fast out there without being destroyed in one form or running into something, you know.
Well, you would think, you know, moving that fast, space is not empty, and the faster you go, and we know this from right here on Earth, the faster you go, space collapses around you. Okay, in other words, a light pole that's 1,000 feet away is much further away from you at 30 miles an hour than it is at 100 miles an hour. It's still 1,000 feet, but the space is closing too fast. Hang on just a minute. We have to take a break. I'll be back with you right after the break.
Okay.
We'll be back, folks. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And, Terry, are you still on the line with me?
Sure am.
Yeah. What I was saying is we know, it's from our personal experience, that space seems to collapse around us. It seems to contract and get smaller the faster we go. And that is because space and time are related. So as we reduce the time it takes to go from point A to point B, the space between point A and point B seems smaller. So if there's a light pole 1,000 feet in front of you and you're traveling 30 miles per hour, it seems like you've got a lot more space there than it seems if you're traveling at 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And so I would think, you know, I've wondered about this myself. If you were traveling at the speed of light, the distance between all of the space debris and junk that's out there, the distances would seem to collapse. And it would seem that it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to navigate around all of that space debris so that you don't have a collision. But, you know, if they travel through wormholes or something similar to that, then you would have the same effect of traveling faster than the speed of light, perhaps without traveling faster than the speed of light.
Yeah, it sounds like it'd be kind of almost instantaneous, and it sounds like it would everything be going in the same direction, you know, so you probably really wouldn't have... you know, concerns with collisions, because just think about, you know, we can't circle the Earth without worrying about our shuttle hitting something or something hitting our shuttle.
But see, the thing is, that's true because we have put all that junk up there.
Yeah.
We have turned space around Earth into a garbage dump.
Yeah, we sure have.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, even their instrumentation, you know, if they even could do that, you know, the force fields that they would have, you know, to plow through that, or their instrumentation, you know, would have to run so much faster than their vehicle could run, you know, to sense the stuff out in front of them. I mean, it'd be, you know, so mind-bending and amazing, you know. I mean, there's just so many questions. It's just hard to believe that's possible.
Well, yeah. But let's take the wormhole theory. Okay, let's say that that's how... Let's say that there are intelligent extraterrestrials that are coming from the other side of the universe and are from the other side of this galaxy, from wherever. But they're coming through wormholes, and so they have this virtually instantaneous travel. Okay, now any radio transmissions from their home planet to them, even though they have traveled virtually instantaneously through a wormhole, those radio transmissions are going to go through space at the speed of light. And so the home planet, if it's 30 light years from here, if they wish to contact them via radio once they get here, it will take 30 years for that transmission to get here.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying they're not using radio.
Wouldn't be too much feasible there.
Yeah, they're not using radio.
And same thing as, like, space, you know, even if they could go that fast, you know, and they wanted to, you know, be here, say, this is the present, you know, but if they would go through space, you know, so fast here, you know, they really wouldn't show up here at this time either, unless they had, like you say, a direct, immediate route here, through inner space or a wormhole.
Yeah.
It would really be hard to, you know, show up whenever you know, that they wanted to show up. You know,
well, they would be running on their clock, you know, instead of ours.
Hard to figure out, yeah.
Yeah, they would be running on their clock.
On that.
So, you know, it's but the thing is that any way you slice it, radio's too slow. And
yeah, sure.
this is the reason that I think that the efforts of SETI, while commendable, and they may find something, certainly are not going to find any alien civilizations in deep space. Those, if there are alien civilizations on planets that are in our solar system, they may pick those up. But if they are from star systems far away, and all star systems are far away, there are no star systems that are not far away. Even the closest one would take, I think, 4 years.
Yeah.
You know,
well, just think of the problems we have, you know, what the time lapse we have with just contacting, you know, our rovers and stuff like that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're already experiencing that kind of a problem.
Yeah. So, you know, radio isn't how they communicate. I don't know how they do it, but it isn't radio. And so, you know, as I say, while commendable, I don't think that they're going to pick up any alien civilizations far away. Now, what they might pick up, it may be that they are using radio. And that, you know, maybe once they leave their home planet, they have a mission, and they don't have to report back in until the mission's complete. And so, but they maybe once they are in space near us, maybe they communicate with each other on radio. And so
yeah.
We might pick that up.
Yeah, one would, you know, logically think that... you know, they would be on to that, and they would, you know, if they're still building these things, you know, they're looking for something more than probably, you know, what they're saying, you know, E.T. talking to us.
Well, here's the deal. If, in fact, there are extraterrestrials that are in our solar system now, regardless of where they came from, assuming that they are in our solar system, and assuming that they use radio, whatever frequency, here's the deal. If that's the case, SETI has intercepted it and they're keeping quiet about it, or they're not using radio.
Yeah. Well, if we got, you know, Grimsley and, you know, there's something going on up there, you know, somebody's listening to it, you know, somebody's hearing something. I mean,
well, you would
more
think
going
so,
on
yeah.
than we're privileged to.
I agree. Terry, thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
All right.
Nice talk to you.
All right, bye. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. Open line live tonight. We will talk about whatever is on your mind from coast to coast. Any state of the United States, any province of Canada, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free 1-888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, and I can hear you tonight, Kevin.
Yeah, we were getting some help last night, Mike. You know, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, I tell you what, last night I wish I could have talked to him more because, like I said, I had more to say about those men in black from dealing, you know, with that guy Oscar Jordan. I don't know if you got the email I sent you about him or not.
Yes, I did. But why don't you share that with us?
Well, you know, Oscar, I met him back in 1989. And I saw him on a local TV news station here, and he was showing a model of a ship that he claims that he saw, he and six other people. And so I called him on the phone and made an appointment to go to see him over near Mount Vernon, Indiana. And I drove over and I talked to him. And over from that very first initial meeting, this went on for like nearly a year. And so I got a video interviews with him and his wife both, and then I turned that into a written typed report that I offered you if you think you'd be interested in me sending you a copy.
Sure, I would. Yeah.
Okay, I think you would enjoy the case. And Monday night, I just didn't enjoy him at all because I think I don't want to say too much about him, but he's not my type of investigator.
You're talking about Ben Woods.
Yes, yeah. Ben Woods.
Well, you know, not everyone is everyone else's cup of tea.
Well, I understand, but I think that he's, to me personally now, mm-hmm. nothing against him as an individual, but for what he's representing in this field.
Mm-hmm.
He is somebody that's trying to make a place for himself in history, financially as well as other ways, is the way I see it. And to me, who's always been a grassroots investigator, passing information along to those who would take it and do something with it, you know, that's just not the way I operate.
Yeah, well, okay. I can see what you're saying. But now, let me say this. I don't think that there's anything evil about someone making a living as a UFO investigator. Some do and some don't. I never have figured out how you do it, but Stanton Friedman does.
Yeah.
And there are others that do, you know, they write books, and Kevin Randall being one, and not just UFOs, but paranormal writers. Brad Steiger is one. Whitley Strieber is one. So, you know, I don't think there's anything particularly evil about someone trying to earn a living doing what the rest of us enjoy hearing about, and that's UFOs and paranormal investigations.
Well,
at the same time, I think there are people for whom that is their only motive. They're not doing good investigation. I look, you know, Stanton Friedman, for instance. Stanton yeah. does very thorough research and then documents it. And then when you read his book, there are footnotes. You see what his documentation is. And all of that takes time. And time has to be paid for. So I don't begrudge by any means the fact that he sells books. But there are people that are, you know, really sloppy, don't do their research well, and they're just out there to sell a book. He's out there to get good research and to get it into our hands, and he does that by selling us a book. But in his case, it's well worth the price.
Sure, I understand what you're saying, and I don't have any problem with that part. I've known Stanton Friedman since 1968 when he was on a college circuit and he came to our town. He and I and two other friends, one of them was a DJ at WMI Radio, and another one was an engineer for General Electric. We all spent about 3 hours after his lecture discussing all of this, and I've met Stanton several times at different MUFON conventions down through the years. Plus, I have his home phone number, and I've called him and talked to him and asked him things from time to time. He's, mm-hmm. he's a nice guy, and but he like Bob Lazar, his story doesn't change. It just keeps going on and on, around and around. And but, you know, no, I don't have any problem with people that have a story to tell making money if that's what they want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in that. But, you know, I can give the facts to others. If they want to put it out in book form, that's okay. I don't care.
Well, yeah, and all I'm saying is that, you know, if I understand what your sentiments are, and I respect that, but if it's just because he wants to earn some money from what he's doing, consider that what he's doing does take time, and, you know, that time has to be paid for somehow. Not everyone is willing to live like I live.
Well, what's the difference in them writing the books on the UFO research and somebody being a trail guide to guide you across some, you know, on some kind of safari or something? It's mm-hmm. what you do.
It's what you do.
If the people want to invest in it, that's up to them.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely yeah. true. Okay, Michael, thanks for the call.
All right, we'll talk to you again.
All right. Yeah, keep that in mind, folks. One of the things, and I really believe that some of the disinformation operatives that get into the field of UFOs and paranormal, not all of them, but I think some of the disinformation that's out there is this idea that if someone wants to sell you a DVD or if they want to sell you a book, that is inherently evil. But you have to understand that time it took to get that information cost money. And there has to be some way, if someone's not going to go to their 8 to 5 daytime job, if they're not going to do that, instead they're going out and investigate a UFO crash, and they're going to interrogate or interview witnesses, and they're going to get photographs, and they're going to the National Archives. There's travel time, there's food, there's time away from the job. And so if they put it into a DVD or a book and ask you to pay a nominal fee for it, I don't understand how that is in any way a negative. We get the benefit of their work. We get the benefit of their research. And as long as they've done, you know, good research and have given it a good, honest effort, then we benefit by having it. What we're finding is that there is this idea that has crept into ufology that anyone who tries to sell you a book or a DVD or something like that is somehow just trying to make a buck off of this. Well, duh. Somebody has to pay their light bill. Somebody, they have to find some way to put the gasoline in their car to go do that investigation. And I don't see that as, by itself, I don't see that as a negative. There are people, though, and we all know this, there are people that get into ufology or into the paranormal field simply to make a buck. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Kevin, this is Stefan from Quebec City. How are you?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. I hope your show really comes through, and I plan on becoming a member probably within the next 2 weeks, hopefully.
All right.
My situation's kind of tight right now, but it'll be really sad to see you go, Kevin. I hope you manage to stay on.
Oh, I do, too. And, you know, we'll see. It's close. We're not that far from the goal, but we'll see if we make it.
Yeah, I'm researching the whole Stratum UFO in UK situation right now. Nothing much seems to be. It's on Twitter and every all the other news outlets, but nothing mainstream. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that. And
what are they saying on Twitter about this?
I don't have the site in front of me. I actually closed all the sites. I just dialed the number.
All right.
But in regards to your guest last night and how you were saying that the military was looking over at public reaction to UFO sightings, nevertheless, they must have had a heyday with Blossom Goodchild last year.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all. That's probably the case. And in fact, you know, we talked about it here on the show, and that seemed to be, several people said they felt like they had set her up and, you know, made a fool of her, but to see what public reaction would be. The public reaction that I got, you may remember, I called the NBC affiliate in, I think it was Birmingham, Alabama, because that's where the epicenter of this was supposed to be. And I asked them, had they seen anything unusual in the skies? And they said no. And I said, well, you know, the reason I'm asking, I had already identified myself and told them I was host of this talk show. And I said, you know, The reason I'm calling is because of the information we have about there's supposed to be this big sighting over your city. And, oh, yeah, we're aware of that. I said, could I just get a statement from you for my show? Oh, we don't have time for that. And they hung up. So they would make no public statement about it. Real lily-livered chicken hearts. And, you know, and that was the NBC affiliate that I called. And I was not surprised for the media to run from the topic, even to comment that it didn't happen. The major media runs from all real news.
Agreed. I also think that it was probably a good thing that that whole thing happened last year because it gave us a precedent for the years then towards the year 2000. I just know that there's going to be more stories like that coming out in the future.
Yeah, for 2012.
Yeah, there's probably going to be more predictions and stuff like that. And, you know, since I wrote three articles on her, I still don't regret it because I feel I treated the whole thing, I treated her with a little bit more respect than some people on the Internet. But
well, here's the thing.
It was a worldwide experiment.
I think she really did hear the voices. I don't think she hallucinated.
No.
But I think
she wouldn't have put her reputation on the line like that for nothing.
I think there's every possibility that those were transmitted into her head by the high-tech devices that Dr. Nick Begich talks about. And Dr. Nick Begich has talked about and written about these very high-tech devices where they can actually transmit a voice right into your head. And you hear it, but nobody else hears it. It's not that you think it. You hear it inside your head. You hear it. But I think there's every possibility that happened. And that it was.
I wonder if there's a way to shield oneself from that type of influence.
I don't know. If you check out Dr. Begich's research on this, they have the means of transmitting these kinds of signals into your home via the electrical wires in your house.
Wow.
And they can make you think anything. They can make you change your attitude, change your mood. And they can do it through the wiring in your house. Hmm. And the last time he was on the show, I asked, are there any devices built by anyone anywhere that can nullify those signals? And he did not know of any at that time.
Interesting. Well, Kevin, thank you very much, and great luck with the show, and I hope you manage to stay on.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. If you're living outside of the USA and Canada, you can send me a flash message. Feel free to call those numbers, however, no matter where you live on this planet. They work worldwide. But the toll-free number is only toll-free in the USA and Canada. If you're outside of that, you can send a flash message by going over to my website and just scroll down. You'll see where it says flash message. Just click that and send me the flash message. I've got one here from Australia, and it says, big g'day from Australia, Mr. Kevin Smith. Surely it was swamp gas in London again. And then a question mark. And then he says, keep up the great work, and I look forward to your interview on Veritas Show soon. Cheers and peace. So thanks much, and I appreciate that. We'll be back with Open Line Live and some more information here in just a moment. Welcome back to Open Line Live here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth, guaranteed. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Or you can send me a flash message if you are outside of the USA or Canada. And we would love to hear from you as well. The telephone numbers will work worldwide. Some interesting news, a couple of things that I haven't gotten to yet. Oh, one photograph that I haven't gotten to yet. In the batch of photographs sent to me by Alan Greenfield is a photograph that was taken of a man in black. And this photograph, not the one I've already showed you, that's the one he took. But this one was taken by Jim Mosley, who was the publisher of Saucer News. And right across the street from one of his reporters' apartment, they saw this man in black apparently keeping the apartment of this reporter for Saucer News under surveillance. So Jim Mosley snapped the picture. Tim Beckley was present and has written stating what the story was and that he was with Jim Mosley when he snapped this photograph and he saw this guy. And he was just standing in a doorway. Now, this one has a black hat. He was standing in a doorway directly across the street from the apartment of this reporter for Saucer News. And this was taken, I think, in the 60s. But anyway, this one is wearing a black hat. He's wearing all black, and he's just standing there. It could be, and this is a question that I just didn't think about when we had Greenfield on the telephone. I wish I had thought about it, but not being omnipotent and not being omniscient, I didn't think of this. But could it be that the ones in training are wearing a gray hat and the ones who have graduated training are wearing the black hats? Is that the deal? I don't know. Now, one of the things that we talk about on this show quite often, we talk about free energy. And we talk about Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla was, of course, absolutely brilliant. In my estimation, my opinion, but maybe you have a different opinion, that's okay. It's my opinion that Nikola Tesla was more brilliant than any of the other so-called geniuses that have come along even at his time or since then. They're still trying to figure out how Tesla did some of the things Tesla actually did. We're using technology that Tesla invented. I mean, when you change the channels on your television set with a remote, a wireless remote, that was invented by Nikola Tesla 100 years ago. And radar, invented by Tesla. X-ray film, X-ray, being able to take X-rays and put them on film, invented by Tesla. Radio, invented by Tesla. And we could just go on and on and on. Every time you turn a light on, you have to understand that you're using alternating current, invented by Nikola Tesla. Absolutely brilliant guy. One of the things Tesla did was he tapped into and apparently was able to use this energy from the vacuum. He called it from the ether, from the vacuum. And he tapped into that and was able to use it. One example was when he installed an electric motor in an automobile and without batteries drew power out of the ether, out of the atmosphere, out of the air. He drew the power in and powered that automobile. It was test driven by famous people, celebrities, and politicians. Made the New York Times, and it was a big, big deal. nobody's figured out since how to do that. And the reason that no one has that technology, apparently, is because the newspapers began, you know how newspapers are, these days, television news and radio news, you know, they want all of they go into the sewers of society to find sound bites. And so there were people that said, oh, well, he's able to do that because he's consorting with the powers of Satan. And so he said, fine, you know what? I'll take my toys and go home. He took his toys, went home. Nobody ever saw that equipment again. And people have been trying to figure out how to do that. Well, a German scientist, apparently has figured it out. I'll tell you more about it in a few minutes. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Dave from Central Florida.
From Central Florida. Great. And what was the first name again?
David.
David, okay. David, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, Kevin, I would like to share an experience with you on a being that I came across. And to this day, I still can't explain it.
Okay.
I first come across this being in a Walmart superstore. And I was walking across the front of the store between the cash registers and where all of the products are kept. There's a large open area there.
Mm-hmm.
And this being, when I saw it, it stopped me dead in my tracks. I don't know if I couldn't move, didn't think about moving. I really don't know what was going on there. All I know is it stopped me dead cold. When I looked at this being, there was something wrong with it around its eyes. It was like hard to see, like it was agitating or maybe had one eye.
Now, you're serious about this.
I am dead serious, sir.
Okay.
And to this day, I cannot recall its face, and I am very good with people's faces. I never forget a face. Some people are good with names. I'm very good with faces, and I cannot recall the features of this face.
Can you recall?
Its head.
Yeah, go ahead.
Its head, it's like the eye area was too close together. There was no space for a nose. Although there might have been a nose there, I can't recall it. Okay, when I stopped and looked at it and just stood there in awe, it seemed to be rather upset that I could see it and seemed to be agitated.
So other people around you could not see it, is that correct?
That is correct, sir. None of them acted the way I did. None of them saw what I saw. I'm sure of it.
All right.
I am sure of it, that they were not looking at what I was looking at. Okay, I went to get my wife to corroborate my story. And we walked that entire store three times and never came across this individual. Well, I just left it at that. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, me and my granddaughter went into an AutoZone store. And lo and behold, that individual was there again. And it stopped me and my granddaughter dead in our tracks, the same as before. And we just stood there looking at this individual, and it was looking back. It turned and went towards the back of the store. My granddaughter and I then proceeded on to the help counter to acquire the auto parts that I was looking for. And I told my granddaughter, you stay right here, and I asked the gentleman there, I said, would you watch her for a moment? And I went back and went through that entire store, and lo and behold, I could not find that individual in that store, and she did not go past us. It was a girl, by the way.
All right. How tall? How tall was this being?
At least 5 foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, at least 5 foot. I'm 6'1", and I was looking slightly down at it. And the main thing is it seemed highly perturbed that I could see it. And even my granddaughter saw it.
How was it dressed?
Actually, it had on boots. It, like I said, I think it was a female, but it still had on army-type boots. The jeans were pulled down around the ankles and looked to be possibly even tied off.
Mm-hmm.
The blazer jacket that it had on was partially zipped up in the front. It reminded me very much like a military person, the way they dress. Whether they're on duty, off duty, whatever, they all have the same habits of zipping up their jacket about halfway.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate.
The second time you saw it, it was exactly the same as the first time?
Oh, exactly. Yes, sir.
Had you had any encounters with UFOs or anything like that prior to this?
Yeah. No, not in my whole entire life, no.
Mm-hmm. What about afterward?
I'll tell you something else. When I got home, I told my wife about it. And in front of my wife, we called my granddaughter in, and I asked her, I said, do you remember the person that we saw at the AutoZone? She said, yes. And I said, would you describe her face to Grandma? And she stood there for a minute, and she said, I can't remember. I saw it, but I don't know what it looked like, which is the same opinion I have to this day. Mm-hmm. Kevin, I saw it, but I don't know what I saw because my mind didn't see it.
All right, when did this happen?
The first incident was about 6 months ago, and then it happened again about 3 or 4 weeks after that. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I told my online friends here about the incident. And after much consideration, I have come to the conclusion that if I ever cross this being's path again, Kevin, it's going to be me or it. I'm going to get my answers from it, even if I have to go to jail for assault. I'm going to get some satisfaction.
Now, be careful. Now, look, when this thing, you saw it in the auto parts store, and it walked away from you, how did it vanish? Did it just sort of fade out, or what happened?
Kevin, there is no public exit in the back of that auto zone. Mm-hmm. Basically, all your auto zones are the same way. When you get to the back, what looks to appears to be the back wall,
uh-huh.
all of the oils and filters and stuff like that is,
mm-hmm.
there is a partition. It's not really a partition. There's just that cage of material there.
David, if you will, hang on. A break is taking over. I have to step away for a minute. I want to talk with you some more about this. Just hang on through the break, and we'll be back to you. All right, folks, we'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with David. David, are you still on the line with me? Hello, David. Well, I guess David went away. Wow, fascinating story. What is it? Is it something extraterrestrial? Is it something spiritual? I don't know. Maybe you've had a similar experience, but that is, without a doubt, a strange thing to have happen to you, isn't it? All right, I was telling you about free energy. The line is still open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. There's a German scientist in Germany who has done a couple of things. He says he's figured out how to convert vacuum energy of electromagnetic zero-point oscillations into classical mechanical energy. And he has posted the documentation of this online. This report does not say where, but his name is Professor Klaus W. Turter, T-U-R-T-E-R. And he says, so all that has to happen now, he said, the information on how you convert it into classical mechanical energy, he said he's figured that out, and here's the documentation. He's put it online, and he said all that has to happen is for people to take that documentation and incorporate it into machinery and inventions that they are working on, and they can have free energy to power these things that they're building. If this pans out to be true, then what I said earlier, several shows back, I said the dam that's holding back all of the secrets about this high technology, the embargo of this information will break. It has been, there are cracks in it, and information's getting out, and it will break. And when it breaks, this information will come rushing out onto the world. And you remember I said those who are concerned about managing economies need to be thinking about ramping up towards disclosure and doing it very quickly, because the information will get out. It will break the dam. It's just become so voluminous that it will break the dam, and it will be out there. And apparently, you know, if this pans out, if this happens to be accurate information that the Professor Turter has posted on the internet, then you know, the dam has indeed broken. You've heard me say that there are no laws of physics. For some of you, for those of you listening for the very first time, it's the first time you've heard me say that. There are no laws of physics. Those who listen to this show frequently have heard me say it frequently. And the explanation is quite simple. There are no laws of physics. Those things that we call laws of physics are merely written descriptions of our current understanding of how things work. But it has not been all that long ago that we did not understand things to work that way. You know, Albert Einstein was living in this last century. He's one of the people that had a lot to do with the development of nuclear energy. He is the person who put forth the theory of the general theory of relativity and then the special theory of relativity. And with Albert Einstein's work, the world of physics changed. Because of Albert Einstein, the world of physics changed, and the so-called laws of physics began to be defined quite differently than before Albert Einstein. Before him, it was all Newtonian, and it was, you know, Newton's laws of motion and so forth. But because of Albert Einstein, the definitions, the so-called laws of physics, had to be rewritten. And I have said, you know, what do you think? Albert Einstein is the only smart guy to come along? There will be others that come along and step right over one of those so-called laws of physics, just like Einstein did. And then they will all have to rewrite their laws of physics once again, because our understanding of how it all works will have shifted. So these laws of physics that everyone talks about are not laws at all. They are just descriptions of our current understanding of how things work. if this guy, Professor Klaus Terter of the University of Applied Sciences, Braunschweig, Wolfenbüttel, Germany, if this guy has in fact figured out what Tesla knew, you know, Tesla had it figured out, but if he's now figured it out and he's put the documentation for how it works, free energy, on the internet, then we have just experienced one of these smart guys stepping right over some of the laws of physics. And that means that there will, if this pans out, there will be a massive rewriting of the so-called laws of physics. It will also change, provided that he has gotten it right, it's going to change our understanding of space, time, and gravity. Because those are the things that function in the vacuum that produces the energy that he's talking about converting into classical mechanical energy. And so all of that's going to change. This one page, not even a full page, as you can see, it's not even a full page. This story getting very little notice, getting very, very, very little airplay. This story is perhaps, if it pans out, one of the biggest stories of your life. Now, I want to show you how small the story is. You see that? That's it. That's the story for those of you watching on KSS TV. That's it. That's all the information there is about this. And you would think something like this would be absolutely huge across the pages of all the major media, across the screens of all the major media, television. You would think it would be filling up the airwaves. With the world experiencing the tremendous problems that it has related to oil, I mean, the outrageous costs, the outrageous pollution, the fact that it's diminishing, you would think that this would be, you know, the story out there, but it is not the story that's out there. Just a small story. As I said, a small few paragraphs. As a matter of fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs. We'll have to see. It may rewrite the laws of physics. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. I know I certainly have. And I hope you'll be back again and again and again. My friends call me Steeleye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.